Of course, the great thing about the Midweek Drive is it's also broadcast in genuine 3D, isn't it, Becky? Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, genuine 3D. The ideal way to actually introduce acclaimed psychotherapist, actress, writer, general all-round wonderful graduate of indeed Durham and London University, we say Lucy Beresford. Are you there, Lucy?
Hello, good afternoon.
Oh, fantastic. So now, 7 days or 168 hours ago, we were having a bit of a challenging time because we thought we were trying to get through on a mobile phone. All sorts of things were there. It was going to voicemail and so on and so forth. And as you said in the email which you sent to me shortly afterwards...
Did I sound stressed in that email?
Just slightly, which is why I thought ideally placed to actually help Becky here in terms of coping with stress. How did you cope last week? Because you had the builders in, all sorts of things were happening.
It was the most extraordinary thing. And, of course, the key about stress is it's usually when things are out of your control. And this truly was a moment where things were out of my control. And it's very much about trying to rein that back in, be much more relaxed and concentrate in your breathing, because in the end, the breathing is the only thing that you can control. And literally, I was walking up and down the pavement, breathing almost as if I was in labour, actually. I was sort of doing these incredibly deep breaths, people on the pavement sort of thinking I was very odd or thinking I was more odd than they normally do. And it kind of worked, but only after a bit of time. You have to acknowledge that it's going to take a tiny bit of time.
Well, that's clearly, you know, part of the stress that sometimes the Midweek Drive can actually provide. You know, it's the swan scenario. Becky, any questions from yourself? Let's just set the scene, actually, because Becky's coming today, and I'll sort of describe her conditions, basically. Level one journalism student at the basis, of course, Siren 107.3 FM at the University of Lincoln. She's got a whole range of assignments to work through. Last night, she was engaging in that strange and bizarre undergraduate tradition of actually mixing drinks.
Degree in that.
Oh dear.
And she's sort of thinking, well, why do all the work seem to come at once? Now, breathing would seem to me an eminently sensible way, Lucy, of actually starting Becky off on the path to satisfaction here.
Totally. And it's an incredibly useful way of getting yourself to sleep as well. If you've had a very busy brain day, which of course students, one would like to feel, do have busy brain days all the time, it's a way of sort of making your biorhythm slow down, which prepares you for sleep. If you just concentrate on the breath going in and the breath going out, sooner or later, that is actually all you're focusing on, and you will find you drop off quite quickly, because sleep is one of the key things in coping with stress. I mean, I think it's worth saying at the outset that the thing about stress is that it's actually a very natural human function. Definitely from a throwback of sort of, you know, millions of years ago when we were all out hunting animals. But the problem is that we weren't really designed physically to cope with stress as an ongoing experience. Our body just isn't really designed to have that amount of adrenaline pumping through our system all the time. So it's very important to work out when you are stressed and to take steps to eliminate that stress.
Now, does that help, Becky? Does that help?
I don't have trouble sleeping. It's actually one of the things that I do best. I take random naps in the day, and it's probably why my portfolio is not done, actually.
Well, there we are, you see. It's clearly a Nottingham perspective on the whole thing, which is fine for that. Because, interestingly enough, I mean, you raised that issue about needing sleep, and I always maintain that, yes, you do. I mean, I did the sort of three broadcast-a-thons about... We didn't do 52 hours, we did a 37-hour one, we did a two 24-hour ones, long before a certain Mr. Moyles started coming up with a whole range of bits and pieces. And it's not really a healthy thing to actually miss large amounts of sleep. I mean, we hear a great tale about Mrs. Thatcher, of course, who used to catnap regularly, apparently, whilst she wasn't sorting various things through. I mean, is there an ideal amount of sleep that people should be looking for to kind of maintain their general positivity?
Well, everybody is different, and you're right. There are people like Margaret Thatcher who famously claimed to only need about 3 or 4 hours sleep, but by and large, most people need about 6 to 7 hours sleep. And anything less than that, and you really do start to notice an impairment in function, memory, mood, eating habits. It's incredible how different you feel once you've had a really good night's sleep. And again, it's about getting to know your own body, because you may be the person that actually only needs 5 hours sleep. You might actually be the person who needs at least 8. Tr- try to understand where you are on that spectrum. It can really help you in later life. Mm.
And is that advice you would give to jobbing journalists as well, in terms of when they're out and about, you know, news hounds looking for grabbing the next scoop and so on, looking to get the exclusive Lucy Beresford interview to actually book them for their particular piece and so on?
You're absolutely right. There are two things. One is about sleeping and one is about eating. So you're describing there the life of a jobbing journalist, always on the go, probably doesn't know, you know, where they're going to be next. Is there going to be a decent shop in sight? Are they going to be able to buy, you know, a decent lunch or a decent evening meal? Preparation is key if you are to manage your own stress. I'm not talking about those random occasions where you really are just sort of hit by things that are happening quite fast and you've got to cope with that maybe for a day or two. But anything longer than that, if you find that your day is very stressful repeatedly, you must make sure that you have a good, healthy lunch. And I'm not talking about, you know, 5 minutes standing on the pavement. I'm talking about a proper break where you can switch off mentally and physically from your work.
Life, love and cupcakes. One of the strap lines.
Yeah,
I thought you'd go for the cupcakes thing. Interesting enough, Sarah Gayton from Taste of the Moorlands was actually saying, was it something in the Oaty biscuits that sort of meant that Rebecca sort of just vanished from the show for a wee while? Interesting that. It's a wonderful sort of concept, Lucy, that seems to keep a balance. And that's something which, certainly from lucyberesford.co.uk, the website, and all the rest of the bits and pieces, keeping things in balance. I mean, do you keep things in balance, Becky?
No, I'm awful. I'm terrible. I average out at about 12 hours sleep, so...
I mean, is the secret to success ultimately keeping things balanced? I mean, as our Eastern physicians and philosophers would actually say, if you can keep the balance going, then that's part of the route.
It certainly works for the vast majority of people to have a balance in all things, whether it's what you eat, how much of a work-life balance you create, balance in relationships, and also a sense of perspective, an ability to perhaps step back at certain points to say, okay, is this thing actually worth worrying about, or is it not worth worrying about? To be able to know your own body well enough to be able to detect when it is actually beginning to get a little bit out of sync. We become, as in adolescence, when the hormones are sort of flying all over the place, we notice that mostly in our skin, and we become very attuned to the condition of our skin, the condition of our hair. But actually, it's more than that. It's about knowing the rhythms of your body so that you can work out, am I out of balance? Because when you're out of balance physically, you will probably be out of balance emotionally as well.
Any questions, Rebecca?
Don't know.
No. See, it's the stress scenario. I've got to throw one into Lucy straight away with another little quote that always sort of sticks very much to the hand. And when I bring it up, people say, oh, what's going on here? All irregularities will be handled by the forces concerning each dimension. Transuranic heavy elements may not be used where there is life. Now, you may be able to identify, I presume, Becky, not a clue what I'm talking about there.
I didn't think that was English.
I was going to say, do you want to put that into English?
I'm glad you're on the same wavelength as me, Lucy.
The classic line is, it closes with, sapphire and steel have been assigned.
I
thought, surely that now all irregularities will be handled by the forces, etc.
I think you had to say it in actually a slightly deeper voice, didn't you?
It's very true.
They have to be really pitched down in the bass.
Shifting neatly on, of course, to your acting work, Sapphire and Steel, originally incarnated by David McCallum and Joanna Lumley in the 70s, long before you were born, Becky, so it's okay. Having said that, it's not an excuse for not following your history line. But in terms of that, we also move on to David Warner and indeed Susanna Harker, who have currently portrayed the classic sort of time detectives, probably the best way forward. But obviously the ultimate scenario has been your good self, Lucy, acting as well, and acting your chops off, no less.
Well, I mean, I do like a sort of playful element. I think when you were talking about balance earlier, the key thing about work also has to include some light and shade. I read a marvellous article on Sunday, an interview with a neuroscientist, and he was saying that even in his very serious work, which is all about neurological conditions, he likes to keep a sense of play. And the example he gave was that if you were sort of dating someone or courting them, if you were only serious, you'd actually scare them off. And I thought that was a lovely image of the need to be playful and to take your work seriously. And I think the acting side, even though I take it seriously, it gives my kind of playfulness as an outlet, because the stories are incredibly well written. They take you into, you know, they're audio dramas, the plays that I do, and they're fantastic ways of sort of escaping the, whatever else it is that you're doing, from my perspective and from the people who listen to them.
The more complex the mind, the greater the need for the simplicity of play. It's a quote from the Shore Leave episode of Star Trek.
I was just about to say, where on earth do you get these quotes from?
That's just important. I just wanted to move to one side. Lucy, the other aspect, which, again, a whole heap of things here, we could actually have the Lucy Beresford series and run it for the next 6 months,
thank
and
you,
we still have a whole
you.
Range
I'd be
of
up
things.
For that.
Well, I think we'll negotiate. We'll get more people to speak to your people, various other bits and pieces. Agony Art for Psychology's magazine.
Yeah.
Without mentioning any names, clearly, from that point of view, have there ever been times when you've received a question, a query, and you've just thought, this person is clearly, clearly not on the same planet?
Well, I suppose my work as a psychotherapist means that I never really have that response to anybody, because even if somebody presents in a way that other people find very strange, there's usually some kind of logic underpinning it because of that person's life experiences. Mm. So on the one hand, we might meet someone or read about someone in the paper and think, gosh, that, you know, I can never imagine myself doing that or getting myself into that pickle or whatever it might be, or just reacting to an event. But actually, once you know more about someone, it isn't an excuse for that person or that person's behaviour or that person's outlook on life, but it does provide an explanation. And I think that's what happens in the dilemmas that I read for the magazine, is that everybody is actually going through a dilemma. It's something that's very pertinent to them, but it's also possibly to do with the way that they have lived their life or been brought up, and that's what makes the dilemma so pertinent for them.
See, that's why Lucy's so wonderful. She can come out with that. I mean, we've had other sort of folk, no names, obviously, and they just said, no, it's just Jordan has issues, you know, and that's the key thing. You know, Lucy can kind of address it in a whole range of bits and pieces, which is wonderful from that perspective. We started off by talking about top tips on coping with stress. We keep coming back to the thing which we did, obviously, in your debut on the production, which was a few weeks ago, of course, this notion to breathe, the importance of actually breathing and so on and so forth, the notion of balance as well. Anything else you'd like to add, Lucy, that you think actually it's worth thinking about from the point of view of genuine life experience, for instance?
Yes, well, I think keeping a sense of your own boundaries is very helpful in making sure that you don't get stressed. Knowing what you can achieve and having a sense of what might actually overload you, because I think sometimes it's about understanding that you can earn more respect by saying no something than by saying yes. If you're a people pleaser and you keep saying yes too often, you will actually start to let people down, or maybe let yourself down. So keep a sense of your own boundaries and work efficiently, really. Be, and this is, you know, for students, it sounds so, I sound like a real kind of nagging mum, but working efficiently, not having those kind of essay crises, really does keep your stress levels down. It helps your well-being. I think the key thing about stress is that it can actually start to affect your immune system. The more stressed you are, the more run down you become, the more you are prone to every cold that's going, perhaps flu when everyone else is just getting a cold. Your sleep patterns will be affected. You might actually start to compensate for that by drinking a bit more, smoking a bit more. All these things have a knock-on effect, but if you can rein it in from the beginning, if you can work more efficiently, don't get too sidetracked at the library, and you said yourself, have a bit of balance. You know, go to the library, do work, but do have a break. Do allow yourself those moments when you can chat to some of your friends in the coffee shop or whatever, but bear in mind why you're there, why you're at university, which is to get your degree, to have a great life-enhancing experience, but with a degree at the end of it.
I'm reminded of the Herbert Bayard Swope quote, I cannot give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure, which is, try to please everybody. And yet I watch Jim Carrey and The Yes Man and I think, oh, I don't know. It's a different line. But there we are.
It's a bit of balance. It's nice to say yes to people occasionally. That is also very good for our emotional well-being, to give to others as opposed to always be taking. But it's about that sense of balance so that you can keep a sense of your own boundaries.
Fantastic stuff. Coming up on the show, we have Michelle Monroe, daughter, of course, of Matt Monroe. We have Andrew David and Debbie Wilson live from Las Vegas, of course, award-winning Debbie Wilson these days. We'll also be speaking to a relatively new actress and stand-up comedian, Gilles Michel Milliard, who will be talking to us live from Los Angeles today. But for the moment, Lucy, we haven't even mentioned the royal wedding, but we'll be doing various speeches as it builds up, because that's fairly stressful as well, after a fashion. Would you like to throw those last two questions at Lucy Beresford, please, Rebecca?
Yeah, sure. Have you enjoyed your chat with us this evening, Lucy?
I've had a fantastic chat. Made all the more exciting because last week was so stressful, but I've had a blast. I've had a really good time. Thank you.
Excellent. Does that mean you'll join us again in the future?
If you would have me, I would be thrilled. I would be really chuffed.
We should actually invite Lucy Beresford up to speak at the university, I think, together with her darling as well. I'll have to look over that.
But no pressure.
Hey, listen, we haven't even... I'm talking about pressure, and I have to raise this one. Lehman Brothers. Now, there was an interesting place to actually work for in terms of your routine. So, I mean, was that... You know, clearly the whole structure of the financial crisis, I would have thought you might have thought Lehman Brothers, interesting place, really.
Yes, I mean, I actually worked at Lehman Brothers a very long time ago, when in fact it was known as Shearson Lehman. But obviously once it was all unravelling in 2008, I did have more than a passing interest. But it's a very high octane environment, and it had some tensions within it. One might almost say that was actually my early training, was sort of be in that kind of environment. Very stressful. People working hard and playing hard, but also I was going to say very rewarding, but actually I didn't want people to mean that just in financial terms. Incredibly emotionally stimulating, very very stimulating environment to be in.
Interesting. Again, if you're interested, check out lucyberresford.co.uk. A wealth of information with respect to that, and the key line there, I think, is hopefully we can say quite confidently and positively and in a nice, well balanced way, Lucy Beresford will return.
Yes, that sounds like something from Star Trek as well.